Well, I want to start by telling you my story about prayer. And unfortunately, it's very self-centered and honestly a little bit embarrassing to talk about. But it's my story, and it lasted for about 40 years. I think the thing I'm most ashamed about is when I started Bridges, I love reading God's Word and I love serving Him.
Praise the Lord.
And I didn't think I needed to pray. I thought maybe I can find a few prayer warriors that can do all the praying so that me and Casey can do all the serving. And I've learned how wrong and how off I was with that. And I think really it started with my view of salvation. See, I grew up kind of thinking Jesus was my lifeguard. You know, if I was drowning, I loved Him as my Savior, but I did not want Him to be my Lord. I treated salvation kind of like a transaction. You know, I'll pray the prayer, I'll walk through the steps, but can you just be my genie? You know, I'll just rub that bottle the right way when I get in a pickle or when I need something. But really, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm a white, middle-class, American male. There's a lot of privilege that comes with that. I like being in charge of my life. It's going pretty good. I don't need you to be my Lord or my Master. And for 20 years, I lived as a chameleon, just blending in with my surroundings. Jesus was a part of me, but He definitely wasn't all of me. And I've learned that salvation isn't a transaction. You know, it's not some prayer that we pray at church camp. It's not raising your hand when the pastor tells you to, and it's really not even an emotional altar call. It's more of a hike. It's this long hike, and there's a summit. Sometimes you go down, and sometimes you go up, and sometimes you go through water, and sometimes you go right, and sometimes you go left. But if you never let go of the guide, you'll get through that hike. And that hike turns into a walk with the Lord. It's a trust. It's a faith. It's not giving God part of your life. It's giving God all of your life. Yeah. That's what salvation was. You know, imagine a marriage. What if you got married, you had the wedding, you signed the wedding certificate, and then you moved in separate houses and you talked to each other once or twice a week? Is that a marriage? It's not. What does Jesus say about marriage? It's supposed to be one. We're two become one. And I believe salvation is the same thing. He wants to be married to us. He wants two to become one. He wants us to be one flesh. Amen. Together. He wants that same intimacy. So back to prayer, some of the mistakes that I made was really because my definition of prayer was off. I was real good at seeking His hands. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Help me here. Gimme this. Get me out of this. Help me here. You know, I was real good at bossing around God and having my prayers focused on me, but I very rarely sought His face. I was really good at praying what was on my heart, but I didn't pray what was in His will. And there's a difference. You guys want me to stop or keep going? Okay. I work an after-school program and coach tennis, so I don't need that. I thought prayer was just praying what was on my heart instead of what was His will. There's a big difference because my heart's rotten. So praying what's on my heart isn't really super healthy. Again, I thought, well, God's part of my life, but He definitely wasn't all of my life. And finally, the biggest mistake that I made, and it's a lie that we've maybe even told others, is that prayer is talking to Jesus. You know? Again, looking back at marriage, is marriage talking to your wife? If it is, let me know how that's working for you. To me, it's talking to my wife. It's listening to my wife. It's being quiet with my wife. It's crying with my wife. It's communion with my wife. So what I've learned is that prayer, the definition of prayer, I wish for the rest of the today at least, what if we called it communion? What if we turned prayer into the word communion? And we had communion with our Lord and Savior. Communion with our Father. So I've told you, I was really good at serving him. And Henry Nouwen has a quote that says, sometimes the number one thing of getting in the way of loving Jesus is serving Jesus. And if that intimacy is not there, then we're in trouble. And I didn't know what prayer was. Honestly, I thought it was like what monks did. You know, they get real quiet and they just hang out by themselves and they just pray all the time. And I was like, if that's walking with Jesus, I don't really want any part of that. And one of my least favorite scriptures in all the Bible was pray without ceasing. I was like, I don't even like to pray for 5 minutes, let alone pray without ceasing. But again, if you change that word to communion, think about how it changes, you know, pray in constant communion with Jesus. Live in constant communion with Jesus. You know, when we look at Jesus' example, he prayed by himself. He prayed with others. He served others. He washed people's feet. He was busy with folks. He was, you know, it's amazing to see all the different things the way he lived. Yet there was always one thing that always was said after every time he did something. It was, he did the will of his Father. No matter what he did, he was always following the will of his Father. And part of that would be go to a mountaintop and spend some time with your dad. Some of it would be go hang out with a bunch of 12 idiot disciples, teenagers, and teach them how to pass this on. Or go over here and heal some people. Or go over here and raise this person from the dead. Or, you know, break this bread, give this wine, and wash these brothers' feet. He was always following God's will. I don't know if any of you are Harley owners, but for sake of this story, let's pretend that William Harvey and William Davidson are still alive and they have a Harley Davidson shop in Lafayette. And let's say your Harley is having some trouble and it is not working. If I told you that William Harvey and William Davidson were 50 miles away, they built Harley, they know the Harley, I guarantee they can fix the Harley, we can go there, or we can go to Billy Bob's Bikes over here on, you know, Main Street. It's a pretty easy choice, isn't it? Who are you going to take your Harley to? The Creator? You're going to take it to the people that know it? Or are you going to take it to, you know, this Billy Bob's bike shop? You know, and this is the opportunity we have with God. He says, I know you. I know your heart. I know the words you're going to speak before you even speak them. So communion really can become this beautiful thing where we spend time with the Creator and follow him. I'm going to wrap this up because I want to give you guys plenty of time to pray and get into this last piece. But I told you that this was my story for the last 40 years. I'm thankful that I'm almost 43. And the last three have been marked by a huge difference. And the first thing I want to thank is Jesus for putting it on my heart and showing me and convicting me that my self-centered prayers focused on me was not what he had for me. If he's my good dad, that I could trust him and he could show me what prayer and what communion really looked like. And I started to change, and thankfully God sent me some great brothers. Most of them are in this room that walked with me and taught me how to pray. And they didn't just teach me about talking to God. They taught me how to listen to God as well. And one of the problems with, I think with most men, is we don't like to listen. And I'll never forget it. I went to Anderson University. There was an auditorium full of 3,000 students, and our chapel speaker got up and said, how many of you guys pray? You know, 3,000 hands go up. He said, how many of you meditate? It was less than 10. He goes, you know why? Because prayer is about you. And most people like doing things about them. We're self-centered. But he said, meditating is about you getting quiet and you getting still and you listening to your Father. And the Old Testament and the New Testament is full of men and women who were still before the Lord, got quiet, and listened. Why do you listen? So that you can follow. So that you can obey. How can you obey if you don't know what to do? It takes listening. This happened firsthand with me recently. One of my friends, who was a new believer, called me, or actually texted me with some really bad news about his wife. And I think the old Travis would have said, "Oh man, that's too bad. I'm praying for you. I pray that she gets healed." But after trying to learn what God has been teaching me about prayer and communion, I went in my closet and I got on my knees. And I just started crying for this couple. And I was just begging God, what, you know, like, do we think we have these special words that's going to change God's heart? Like, he knows us. So I was just myself and raw and blubbering a little bit in my crying, but mainly just being still. And he said, "I don't want you to pray for her healing. I want you to pray for her soul. Because cancer's bad, but not being with me and going to hell's worse." Amen. And the parable of the sower came to mind, and all that seed that catches it, some of it gets trampled on, and some of it gets plucked out by the birds, and some of it grows in, and then in the weeds and the worries of the world, and then some of it hits that good soil, and it gets rooted, and it becomes fruitful. And I just prayed that these two young believers would not be those first three seeds that get snatched and torn apart and lose faith. Because all four of the seeds hear the word, but only one of them gets that rich soil and is fruitful. You know, and I can tell you story after story. You know, even with my Bible, it's like I don't even read it anymore on my own. I try to ask God, "Where do you want me to go? If he truly knows me, what's best? When I pray, who should I be praying for today?" He's put people in my heart that I haven't even seen for years, and I'll pray for them, and then I'll call them, and they'll be like, "How did you know I was going through that?" I said, "I didn't, but Jesus did, and I wanted you to know that I was praying for you."
Hallelujah.
Guys, we have to be serious about listening to God. And I love this prayer model, the Lord's Prayer. I love that we give God the first word. I love that we start with an open Bible and we let that scripture align ourselves up with him, and we're getting ready to get into our circles and do that. But I also want to challenge you to give God the last word. And giving God the last word really means, and I really wish we did this better at churches, because a lot of times what happens is we go in, we say hi, we sit down, we sing a few songs, we hear someone talk, and then we just leave. You know, and really all we heard was one person's heart. Well, imagine if we ended with a time of silence and we said, "God, you're so powerful, you're so big, why don't you speak to this whole room? You know, let's just put ourselves in position to hear. Cut off the noise and speak to our hearts." And the cool thing about this is he will say something different to Nick, to Eric, to Jeff, to Jason, to Brad. He will tell something different to each of us. But then that's kind of like our marching orders or our encouragement or the conviction. What he can say whatever he wants. We're just giving him the space and the open heart to say, "Do a great work in me. Be intimate with me. Let's be one." And in those moments, let him be him. It's great that we can teach each other, guys, but there's no better teacher than Jesus. And how can you learn from him if you're not with him? How can you learn from him if we're not listening to him? So today we're gonna pray, and then we're going to, with about a quarter till, I'll come back up, and I'm going to lead us in just a time of solitude and a time of listening, so that when we go out of here, we can be obedient to what he said. Because it's not a big deal to hear a good talk or to hear the word, it's really awesome to do the word. And that time equips us and empowers us to then take this out. So if you have your Bibles with me, you could turn to John 10. It's one of my favorite scriptures about reading or about listening to God. You can almost feel this intimacy between the sheep and the shepherd. We're going to do John 10. One through 18. John 10, 1 through 18. So I'll read it once, then you guys will get in your groups. If someone would volunteer to read it twice, and then you'll just go through the Lord's Prayer with reverence, response, request, and then readiness, which again, those are all in your handouts. And if you've been with us the last 3 weeks, we've been trying to teach the Lord's Prayer. The disciples asked how to pray, and this is how Jesus taught us. Here we go. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus uses figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said it again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father." You guys can turn into your circles and we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. Prayer, so we pray the Lord's Prayer, starting with the Word of God. We give Him the first word, and now I want to practice giving Him the last word. And this can be very awkward at times. I know the first time I did it with my the guy that discipled me, he said, "Well, did you hear anything?" And I said, "I don't think so. See you next week." And it took a little bit, and now. I pray through, individually, I pray through this prayer cycle, and it's 12 different parts, and three or four of the parts are silence. And now I can't pray anymore without listening, without being still, because I've learned that those parts are more important than what I have to say. Listen to Him. So, we're just going to get real quiet before the Lord, because when we're still, guess what? He isn't. He's still in control, and He's still moving, and He's still doing things. And just give Him your heart. He might say, "Hey, I want you to share John 10 with someone. Hey, I might want you to share a story with someone. Or hey, I want you to do this for your wife. Or hey, I want you to know this about me." Or He might convict us and say, hey, you need to stop doing this, or you need to check this in your life. The cool thing is that we're an open slate. We're clay. We're just moldable. We get quiet and we let the maker fix us into the instrument that he wants us to be. Let's be quiet now for 2-3 minutes. Just let the Lord speak to your heart. Thank you that time was so rich, spending time with our dad. Honestly, it wasn't long enough. I wonder in my life how many times you say, oh, Travis, why are you out ahead of me? I didn't want to go that way. I wanted to go this way. But you didn't even ask me. You just ran out ahead of me. Or, oh, you're just doing your own thing again, or you're so busy or so distracted serving me that you're not even listening to me. You're out there doing what's on your heart instead of doing what's in my will. Lord, I pray that as men, as leaders, as Christians, Lord, that we would start making time to be still, to be quiet, and to listen to our Creator, our perfect God, our good, good Shepherd. And then I pray that we would be obedient and trust you and have the courage to follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's some prayer cycles up here. If anybody wants them, I'll put them over here by the food table. It's just a way to walk through individual prayer. So we've taught you a community prayer. This is more for individual prayer. But hopefully these 3 weeks have blessed you guys. We pray that you would take the Lord's Prayer into the circles of influence that you have, and that you would take meditation and listening to God into your families, into your small groups, into your businesses, and into the places that desperately need it. Thanks.